The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right. Thank you, Brother Palmore. Please continue to pray for our daughter, Rebecca, and she is down sick. And so if you'll pray for her, and I would appreciate that. She went through a spell the other night. And of course, she's been having stomach problems for several years, but she went through a spell the other night when she started throwing up about 11 o'clock and was still doing it at 1:30 and 2 o'clock in the morning, and it was a continual thing. And of course, she has good spirit, and so I looked at her and I said, honey, that's not really a good way to lose weight. And you pray for her, if you will, as she's trying to recuperate. Then also please pray, if you will, for Kevin Craig. We as the staff and deacons have thought it wise to extend to him an invitation to join our staff here as a part of our team as being an assistant pastor. He has accepted that, and so he'll be moving into the position to be able to serve here as Brother Nash departs into outer darkness. And so if you'll pray for that, that would be good, and we would appreciate that so very, very much. And so he's excited about it, and that's good, and we're excited about having him on board. And so you pray that it would be a smooth transition. Brother Nash has been spending ample time with him about the Bible College and, of course, things that's happening there and about different music endeavors that he's been involved in. And so that's a blessing. And so you continue to pray there. Notice in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 24, where the Bible says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves." I find that very interesting. Instructing those that oppose themselves. If God preadventure would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now look down, if you will, in verse 26. The Bible says, and that they, it says, may recover themselves. So first off, they're opposing themselves. Second off, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. The Bible says, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, there are those that do themselves danger because they oppose themselves. Then the Bible talks about how they are the ones that they have to recover themselves. Now, I hope that as members of Parkside Baptist Church, number one, that you will never oppose yourself. I hope, number two, if you ever oppose yourself, that you will have common sense enough to recover yourself. And I want to speak tonight about that, which is understanding the pastor, because when a person understands the pastor and the vital role that the pastor plays, it could be a great blessing to you. So let's look at it tonight. I want to give you some ideas. The word pastor means this. It means to tend to a flock. And if I can have that staff, if you will. And a pastor is compared to a shepherd, okay? And so the shepherd, many times you'll see a shepherd, and the shepherd would be out there, and he would be tending to the flock. He would have a staff, and the staff, of course, would be used for many purposes. Sometimes the staff would be used as a weapon to be able to guard the sheep from that which was a wolf or that which was something that was trying to come in to make prey of that which is the sheep, to beat off those things that would come in. And so sometimes the pastor has to preach messages to help you to understand that he is trying to beat off things from your life that would destroy you and would destroy your children and would cause you great harm. The staff also has a curvature at the top, and many times the shepherd would simply reach in and maybe try to get that sheep and pull that sheep back from that which is danger. Maybe to be able to pull that sheep back from the edge of a cliff, or maybe to pull that sheep back from a sliding, rangy area that would go down a slippery slope, or maybe to be able to pull that sheep back from making a decision that is going to cause them to oppose themselves and bring them ultimate destruction. And so the staff was a vital tool for that which was the shepherd. He would use that tool to be able to help the sheep, to be able to advance the sheep, to be able to guide the sheep, to be able to show the sheep exactly what they're supposed to be doing and how they're supposed to be doing that. We see in our Bible several things here. We see that the shepherd, the pastor, if you will please, is supposed to tend to a flock. Now, he has a flock that God has given him. That flock is the flock of the local church. And the shepherd is supposed to govern over that which is the flock in a right manner. He is not supposed to be somebody that does it in a wrong manner. He's supposed to take care of the flock, and he's supposed to guide the flock. He's supposed to be a just man in dealing with the flock. He is supposed to be a man that is called to do so. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 11, the Bible says this. The Bible says, "But thou, O man of God," listen to it, it says, "flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." The Bible says that the man of God, old man of God, he said there's some things that you're supposed to flee and there's some things that you're supposed to follow after. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the man of God is supposed to strive for that which is perfect. Now what does that mean? That means he's supposed to become mature more and more and more. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 24, the Bible says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but," it says, "be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient." So the Bible teaches that the man of God is God's man all the way through. You'll see he says, "O thou man of God." He says again that the man of God may be perfect. He said that the servant of the Lord must not strive. And so the Bible calls him that which is God's man. Okay? So he is the man of God. Now, can I tell you, that's a very lofty calling. When God calls you to stand as the man of God in his stead to represent him to his people, that's a very lofty calling. And the Bible talks about how God himself calls him that which is the man of God. But then you'll see he's not just the man of God. The Bible talks about the pastors being your man. Not just the man of God, but your man. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, and by the way, you don't have two pastors, you don't have three pastors, you don't have four pastors, you only have one. You only have one. So God doesn't give you, the devil, if you would please, is the one that brings confusion. My Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. When all of a sudden you start having two pastors in your life or three pastors in your life or four pastors in your life, you're bound to get confused. And so that's how come God calls a man of God to a flock. All right? Now watch this. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 11, the Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." And so God himself calls these that, as we know today, the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers into a New Testament position whereby they are supposed to fulfill their role in the local church. Now, may I say, every evangelist ought to be out of a local church. Every teacher ought to bring himself underneath that which is the authority of the local church. Every missionary is not equal to the pastor, but he's supposed to bring himself or she is supposed to bring herself underneath that which is the authority of the pastor. Amen. All right? Now watch this. And so the Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 12 why this is true. He says, "For the perfecting of the saints." So God says that he calls pastors and teachers and evangelists into this church to be able to collaborate together for the advancement of those that are the saints. To be able to do what? To mature those. For what reason? He says, "For the perfecting of the saints." He says, "For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And so we are supposed to be able to take the saints. We're supposed to take those that are the sheep. We're supposed to be able to take those that are a part of the local church that God has called us to pastor, and we're supposed to mature them so that they can do the work of the ministry, so that they can build up that which is the body of Christ. Now, how long is that for? The Bible says in verse 13, "Till we all come together in the unity of the faith," it says, "and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure, it says, of the statue of the fullness of Christ. So we are supposed to do that until Jesus comes back. We're supposed to just keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Now, sometimes you have some stubborn sheep, and you have to kind of say, get over there and do what you're supposed to do. Now I'll walk this way and do it. And sometimes you have some sheep that get out of line, and so you say, no, you're supposed to come back here, and you're supposed to go this way, and you got to kind of help them to stay in line. By the way, or listen to me, that's a pastor's responsibility. Don't get mad at the preacher when the preacher's trying to help you as your only shepherd. It becomes bad when all of a sudden you say, well, I don't like the way that shepherd is treating me, so I'm going to go find another shepherd. At the same time, you're supposed to be faithful as a child of God under your shepherd. So understand this tonight, that God gives everybody a pastor. Now, God knows that you need a pastor in your life. So the pastor, what is he supposed to do? Well, step number one, he's supposed to be a loving pastor. A loving pastor. Not somebody that's always up there hitting you over the head, jabbing you. Not somebody that's always trying to grab you and jerk you this way and jerk you that way. Now, by the way, sometimes that's needed for a hard-headed sheep. But yet at the very same time, understand the Bible teaches here that the preacher is supposed to be loving. He is supposed to be somebody that is kind. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 24, the Bible says, my love be unto you. And this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He says, my love be on, he says, my love be with you, it says, be with you, it says, all in Christ Jesus, amen. He said, I'm just telling you, he said, I do have a love for you. Now, by the way, here's what a pastor does that nobody understands unless you're a pastor. A pastor loves a sheep so much that when they get out of line, he'll weep. Now, to the sheep, it's no big deal. But to the pastor, it's a brokenheartedness. I'm going to show you why here in just a minute. The pastor, now, there'll be times, and I've known Brother Nash, and I've known Brother Nash for over 20 years, not Mrs. Nash that long, but Brother Nash for over 20 years because, you know, we're men and we got together and we fellowshipped and we've traded material for over 20 years. Now, so when he leaves, I'm glad that he's going to go pastor. But I also promise you I'll get in my truck and I'll go somewhere and weep. Because that's the heart of a pastor. When I see one of our teenagers or one of our college kids and they're about to make a foolish mistake, it breaks the heart of the pastor. I don't care if you consider yourself an educated person, but when I see one of our adults that's making foolish mistakes, it breaks the heart of the pastor. Can I tell you tonight that a pastor needs to be patient? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 11, the Bible says, of whom we have many things to say, it says, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. So all of a sudden when the pastor gets up and says, hey, let's go do this. This is what you need to do in your life. And all of a sudden when you become dull of hearing to the pastor, it breaks his heart. Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 12, the Bible says, for when it says, for the time that ye ought to be teachers, he says, now you have need one to teach you again. It says, of the first principles of the oracles of God, it says, for you have become such as need that have of milk and not of strong meat. So when a person becomes dull of hearing to that which is the pastor's instruction, here's what God says about that person. They're no longer able to eat meat. They have reversed. Now they need somebody to teach them in their life because they become dull of hearing. Now they can only take the milk. Because here's what happened. If you tell them what to do, they're dull of hearing, and they're going to do what they want to do anyway. See, and so the pastor is a person tonight that has to have a lot of patience or he'll give up on people. I can't begin to tell you how many people have come to my office at one time or another and they say, let me tell you what God wants me to do. You know, but yet the pastor, being one that walks with God and tries to guide, and then they don't want prayer, they don't want to talk about it, they don't want wisdom. Hey, can I tell you, that breaks a pastor's heart. Simply because the pastor is there to guide you, to help you. Now, he is not your pope, but I'm telling you, that's a God-called position that God has placed your pastor in, and God has given him insight of what is best to be able to help you. You'll see this, that the pastor needs to be a faithful man. He's supposed to be faithful, and that's a requirement of being in this position as pastor. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, and I thank, it says, Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, that counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. So first, a man is found faithful, then God picks him up and he puts him in a position, and the position is called that which is the pastorate. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, and be followers of men, it says, even as I listen, also am of Christ. And that's Paul speaking. Yes. Now watch this, if you will. He said, be followers of me, even as I also am. I went to my pastor one day, and I remember right before I was getting ready to go to Bible college. I had three Bible colleges picked out. I went to my pastor, and I said, preacher, which one do you think I ought to go to? He said, well, you shouldn't go to that one. You shouldn't go to that one. Go to that one. And you know what my response to that was? Yes, sir. So I obeyed, and by the way, because I obeyed, look what God has done in my life over the years. Amen. Look how many hundreds of thousands, and I do not stretch that for self-profit or self-gain, but only to the glory of God. Look how many hundreds of thousands of people that's been saved. Look at the over 3,000 that has surrendered to go into the ministry, and look at the hundreds of churches that's been started. I'm telling you, listen, understand tonight that the pastor is supposed to be a faithful man, and as he's a faithful man, God is the one that places him in a position. The pastor needs to be a ministering man. What does that mean? That means he's supposed to serve. He's supposed to serve. Today, I don't know. I know when I first came here years ago, back in 2010, when I first came here, I would pick up a table, and young people would run up to me and go, Pastor, don't do that. We're here to serve you. And they would run over and they'd pick the table up. But there's something in my blood. I like, my wife knows this, and she's the same way, but there's just something in my blood about serving people. I like it. Now, I like it when I'm walking across the gym floor and I have a heavy table. And a teenager would come up to me, or a college student would come up to me and say, hey, preacher, let me help you with that, or let me take, I like that. But I like to be able to serve. I love it at banquets when I can go around and I can serve people tea when their tea gets low. I like that. I like it to be able to clean off the tables when they're finished their plates. I like that. I like it when other people help too, but I like that. Man, the bus ministry had their Thanksgiving dinner today, and I went over there, and me and Brother Jovi, we have found our calling. We're going to start a pie company, because him and I were in charge of the pumpkin pie. And so I'm getting them out, and Brother Jovi's standing next to me, and I'm getting them out, and I'm putting them on a plate, and he's putting whipped cream on them, and it's all his fault. I got whipped cream all over my jacket. And then we're over there, we're just having a good time, and boy, I'm dishing them out. And then we got a chance to eat with the bus kids, and so at my table, Mrs. Wells had to go home and be with Rebecca, but at my table, I want you to know, honey, that I was well cared for, and I was sitting with a bunch of 5, 6, 7, and 8-year-olds. And man, I'm sitting over there, and I'm saying, how do you like your food? And they go, oh, it's good. And I enjoyed just being with them. You know, and then it came cleanup time. I wanted to go down and see Denton and Hannah and Titus, and so, but I wanted to help so bad, and so we start cleaning up, and we're cleaning up all the tables, and Brother Jonathan's over there cleaning up, and different ones coming in, and just helping and pitching in, and then we're cleaning up, and all the workers that was a part of that shindig, and boy, they're over there, and they're cleaning up, and we're putting all the tables up, and we're vacuuming the floor, and hey, can I tell you, there's nothing like serving. You know, 'cause when you leave and you have served people, you feel so good on the inside. Wow, I was able to help somebody. I was able to dish up a pie. I was able to get whipped cream all over me. I mean, I was able to do all. Hey, I'm saying this. I'm saying that we ought to be a people that serves. And the pastor, he's supposed to be somebody that serves. And he gets out there and he sets the example of what it's like to be able to serve people and help people and meet people's needs, and that's the way a preacher's supposed to be, but that's the way the membership is supposed to be too. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15, the Bible says, and I will, Brother Williams, I think this is his favorite verse, my former pastor, this is what it says, as Paul said to the church of Corinth, he said, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Boy, I never will forget, my preacher would get up early. Brother Williams would always get it to church early, and he put his bib overhauls on. And that's why he showed up to church. And he'd have these overhauls on, and he'd have tennis shoes on. And he walked the parking lot every morning, and he would pray that God would fill the parking spaces. We had our academy meeting every morning at 7:30. And so the staff was required to be there. And so we get there a little bit early, and sometimes I would get there a little bit earlier than some of the other guys because Mrs. Williams, this pastor's wife, liked Maxwell House coffee. I mean, she loved Maxwell House coffee. I can't stand Maxwell House coffee. But she liked Maxwell House coffee, and I think she liked Folgers too, but she liked coffee. And so in the morning time, I would get there kind of early, and I would prepare her coffee. And I would take it into my preacher's wife. I knew exactly how she liked it. I knew exactly what type of cream she wanted in it, exactly how many sugars she wanted in it. And I'd prepare her coffee every single morning. And by the way, I did that for about 6 years that I was there after I caught on to the fact that she was a coffee drinker. And I'd take it up to her room after that meeting. I always take it up to her room. And I said, Mrs. Williams, I hope you have a good day. Now, that was a way I could serve my pastor's wife. And by the way, that helped my pastor. I always looked for preacher's shoes. Preacher always took a nap in the afternoons. I mean, always, every afternoon. He'd always take a nap. And so, of course, that preacher was in his 60s when I came to be his assistant pastor. And so he'd always take a nap in the afternoons. And so I would always ask his secretary, what time is he taking his nap? And she would always tell me, and I said, I need you to steal his shoes. Because he would not shine his shoes much. Now, he's in heaven, so I can talk about him. I won't get a phone call tomorrow, him chewing me out. If I do, I'm running. But he would not shine his shoes. And so we got business people that's attending our church and whatnot, and I want him to look sharp. And so I would sneak in, I'd get his shoes, and I assigned it to the youth department. And so the youth department, my seniors, it was good for them, it taught them humility. And so my seniors, every week I'd assign a different senior that had to shine the preacher's shoes. Boy, did they stink, but they had to shine the preacher's shoes. And then every 2 weeks, we washed and waxed his car. You know, now why was I doing that? I was doing that to help him. And here's what he said one day. Somebody's mean to my pastor. And, you know, they were mean to him. They started, back then you didn't have Facebook or FaceTime or you didn't have whatever else is out there. But you didn't have junk like that back then. Well, did you know that they were mean to my pastor? And you could tell he was taking it on the cheek and was trying to smile and whatnot. And they were saying some bad things about him that everybody knew that was just a bunch of junk. But they were saying some bad things about him. And so, boy, I remember going into his office and sitting down with my pastor and saying, preacher, listen, if you want me to, I'll go sit down with them. And I'll give them what for. Of course, in the name of the Lord. But I don't like anybody picking on my preacher or talking bad about my preacher. I don't like it. And so let me, I love you, let me help with this. And here's what he said. He said, now Michael, now by the way, he seldom, if ever, called me Michael. That was my parents' right to call me Michael. He said, Michael, sit down. I'm going to teach you something. He opened up to this verse right here, and he said, I will gladly, this is what it says. It says, and I will gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He said, you'll learn this. The more you love people, the less sometimes they'll love you back. He said, you understand this. One day you may pastor. And he said, you're going to love people deeply, but they will never love you back as deeply as you love them because they're in your ministry. And he said, I'm sent here to this church, Central Baptist Church, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I'm sent here to spend and be spent for them. He said, while I would never talk negative about them, some of them talk negative about me. While I would never talk negative about the way they rear their children, some of them talk negative about the way I rear my children. While I would never talk negative about their direction, some of them would talk negative about my direction. He said, but I realized years ago that I came here to spin and be spent for them. He said, and though I love them deeply, he said, they may only return that love just a little bit. Boy, I learned a great lesson that day. And so my lesson was this, that you love people and you love people and you love people, but understand, they may not love you back. We was in New York City, and I was youth director there. My wife was my helper, and boy, we were in New York City. We had kids that was in the youth department, and they would come up, and they would say that they loved us in German. They'd say they loved us in French. You know, we lived in Brooklyn, New York, Metro. And so they would come up, and they would sign language. They would come up, and some of them were from Haiti, and they would talk in French, or they would talk in a different language. And here's what I found out. You accept love any way you get it, as much or as little as you get it. You accept love. By the way, you, as a member tonight, understand that the pastor has a heart for you, and he loves you, last thing tonight. So he's both God's man and your man. He's supposed to be available to God and available to you. He's supposed to be somebody that helps as much as he possibly can. Now, in so doing, here's what he does. He will extend his arm through a youth director. He will extend his arm through that which is a music director. He will extend his arm through a principal. He will extend his arm through that which is a college administrator. He will extend his arm through people that serve beside him. He will extend his arm, and they are an extension of the pastor. Now, they don't have the shepherd's staff. Only the pastor has the shepherd's staff. And only the pastor has the deep, abiding heart for the people, but they can reflect a heart of the pastor to the people. So understand tonight that the pastor is somebody, when he brings somebody on staff, or he's not doing that for his benefit, he's doing that for your benefit. Man. He's doing that to be able to help you. He's doing that because God has raised somebody up and put somebody on his heart to be able to give you what you need in order to advance you further in that which is the cause of Christ and fulfilling God's will in your life. So tonight, understanding the pastor. Sometimes the pastor has to get up and he'll shake the pulpit as I did this morning. Sometimes the pastor will have to get up and say, yeah, don't do that. Hey, that's going to hurt you. And hey, let's beat that stuff off and get rid of that stuff and let's get it away. Sometimes the pastor has to do that. Sometimes the pastor has to say, look, I love you. Let's go this way. Come on, let me help you. You're going the wrong way. Let me help you a little bit. Shouldn't be going that way. I love you. I'm seeing what God would want to do in your life, and that is not the right direction. So he'll lovingly and kindly try to pull you back. Okay? Now wait a minute. Does everybody understand that? No, but understand this, that the pastor, again, he's not a pope. It's a God-called position. He doesn't know everything. But he does try to guide you through biblical principles. He does try to beat off the things that would destroy you. He does try to keep away those things that would damage your children. He will get up and he'll rip on sin. He will get up and he will give directions so that young people can be holy and pure and clean and go the right direction and serve God. He will do that. But he is that shepherd. And everybody needs a shepherd. By the way, sometimes the pastor get up and he will preach a message that everybody shouts. It's almost like a conference message. And everybody shouts. Sometimes the pastor get up and he'll preach a message, which more of a teachy type of message, that will guide you and instruct you and help you to know the direction in which to go. Sometimes the pastor get up and, boy, he's like a flaming evangelist, and he'll be hitting the pulpit and shaking and just shouting and spitting and white saliva is going everywhere. Sometimes he may be monotone, but every time, if he's preaching that Bible, God's got something for you. And it's so important tonight that we understand that which is the office of the pastor. Understand how God gives you that man of God. I'm done. Here it is. God gave me a daddy. God gave me a precious mother. My daddy was not a saved man. I wish he was. I wish my daddy would have got saved at an early age. But my daddy had some good old-fashioned horse sense. Sometimes my daddy would say this to me, Brother Crutcher. My daddy would say, now looky here, son. And he would say that, looky here, son. He would say, now looky here, son. He says, we don't do that because your last name is Wells. Amen. And I would say, now, daddy, but why don't we do that? He said, I don't need to tell you. He said, you're my son. He said, so therefore you don't do it because I told you not to do it. And I say, okay, well, now, yes, sir. But I said, if I'm going to grow, could you give me a hint why it's wrong? Then he'd say, well, let me tell you why it's wrong. You know, and he had good old-fashioned horse sense. And sometimes you need people in your life that are just good old-fashioned horse sense type of people, but yet have a biblical view. To be able to guide you in the direction that you are supposed to go. Now look, understanding of the pastor. Is the pastor all-knowing? No. Does the pastor have all the answers? No. Is the pastor always supposed to be full of God and empty of self? Yes. And God gives you a man of God so that that man of God can try to help you and guide you. Now the good thing about having a pastor that's a little bit older than maybe somebody in their 20s, is the fact that he has been down the road a little bit. And so he can be able to guide you in the directions that you should consider and things that God has taught him over the years. Now I'm saying this, understand the importance of God giving you a pastor in your life. I met some shepherds. And shepherd people, there was a guy I was preaching over for Gary Edwards many years ago. Very small city. Where was that at? Very small city. Too small for you to remember. Potts Camp. What a name of a city. Potts Camp, Mississippi. And I was preaching for him, and I was out soul winning one afternoon, and here was a guy, rough-looking old fella, just as rough as a cob. And here he was, and he was out there, and had a couple of sheep. Rough-looking fella. I mean, just dingy-looking teeth. I mean, just doesn't look like he took a bath in probably months. But he was caring for those sheep just like they were his very own. Now let the preacher care for you just like you're his very own. But many times I get on my knees and I'd say, now, dear God, this is one of your children. It's not my child, but as one of your children, and I love them, and I don't want them to make this mistake. So God, you guide them, you help them, you direct them. Father, you help them to yield to your will. It's one of your kids. I mean, I say tonight, so we understand the pastor, it gives us more of an appreciation of what God has allowed us to have in our life to be able to go the right direction.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.